Headphones seem a little bit. What is the deal here this morning? All right, we'll get it squared away. You get things, you want them the way you want them. Isn't that right, Jason? You just kind of, you get into your situation. I'm sure in your office at work there at Marshfield Clinic, you want to just get things the way you want them. Just right, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You kind of get into a flow, and that's when the flow gets disrupted, it can really seem to put a speed bump in the day.
Yeah, so for a radio guy, you know the way you want your headphones to sound, and now I got it going. All right, so we're going to do a little bit. There was the first presidential debate last night. I want us to just briefly chat, well, a minute or two on that, and then we're going to go to John 17, and we'll explain why. From your notes from the upper room, you got the book and the devotions, and but first of all, how much of the debate did you watch?
I probably watched, I don't know, 20 or 30 minutes of the debate, and I had to check out at that point. I couldn't continue. So it was painful to watch in a lot of ways. So I could have stayed up later, I suppose, but I didn't.
Yeah. Lila Rose of Live Action posted, I think this is the worst presidential debate I've ever seen, and I'd have to agree with her.
Well, Mark Hamill, who played Luke Skywalker, tweeted, "This is the worst thing I've ever seen on television, and I was in the Star Wars holiday special."
Oh, that's right. I didn't see that. That's really good. I tweeted, "Dear Lord, COVID is bad enough. Please don't make us watch two more of these."
Yeah, you know, it raises the question about what is, you know, there were a million ideas coming out about the debate, and it felt like a battle royale of sorts, or a cage match, and it didn't feel well moderated, and I don't know if that was, I mean, Chris Wallace, I don't know what else he could have done.
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
Jake Tapper, one journalist, I mean, called out on Twitter, called out Chris Wallace and said it took an hour and 13 minutes into the debate for him to remind the president about, you know, interrupting and things like that. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I think it's a really hard job. I think there may be some who come away from the debate saying, you know what, I think I'm going to vote for Chris Wallace. So, I mean, so it was.
Yeah. And again, I think it was. The general mood on Twitter this morning was, wow, that was hard to watch.
Yeah, all over, there is that. And so people can come away. I mean, typically with debates, people will come away doubling down for the candidate they support. But again, there'll be two more of those plus the vice presidential debate. John 17, we mentioned it yesterday because we're talking about relational holiness. And it's not a thing you hear a lot about, but that holiness you think about, be really, really, and this idea about, but God in his essence, Father, Son, and Spirit, relational. And so that to me is way more interesting than a lot of what we've typically heard about holiness, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So give us, and you said John 17 is a really good place to read on that. So you got a devotion for us in that?
Yeah, so I'm going to do 17:5. It's kind of a short little devotion, but maybe we can chat about it after I read through it. And so John 17:5 says, "And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." And so I wrote, Jesus was about to depart the earth. He would once again be in the presence of the Father in a way that he was not while he was on the earth. Notice what he said, before the world existed. The Trinity existed in perfect union before God ever spoke the first words, "Let there be light." There was never a time when the Father, Son, and Spirit did not coexist. The relationship within the Trinity is mutually glorifying. Larry Crabb calls this the relational glory of God. The members of the Trinity exist in perfect communion, making much of one another. There is no conflict nor dissension between them. They exist to show love. They exist to be love. So, you know, for me, it's a reminder also of a book that you and I are both a fan of, Living in Christ's Presence.
Awesome.
Right, and so John Ortberg in there talks about the Trinitarian relationship, this constant pouring of love into one another, the constant highlighting the other members of the Trinity. And I really think that's a huge piece of the relationship within the Godhead. And we can learn a lot from that.
And I'll just bring it down to the earthly level. As my wife just back from Liberia for 2 weeks, one of her best trips in years, as she really got to plug in. I mean, after it's we're almost to 10 years from when she took her first trip there. And again, to just have the team members that she has known and knows and loves and trusts, and her team is this. But she comes back, she's just glowing with, in terms of, she loves her team and her team loves her. And that's, you know, been accomplished by the Holy Spirit internationally, all right? From an American woman from a little city, Plum City, with the trout pond, to Liberia, West Africa, from a family that just, we'd had no intention of a nonprofit, but just to adopt a couple of boys. One of them died of cholera, led to a well, and this organization. But this love can exist. And again, John 13, 34 and 35, the mark of the Christian. That's the deal. That's what we're hoping for, even in a radio sense, on a daily basis. You and me, me and you, the idea of two brothers who love each other on the air, getting the day started with First Thoughts, right?
Absolutely. You know, and hearing that, you had said that Peggy was glowing. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's so much of this is, you know, you are an amazing encourager. And I think that it's that notion of building one another up, of really highlighting the goodness and I would even say glory that's in one another. And as believers, we're called to do that on a day-to-day basis. And we're not called to tear one another down. We're called to build one another up, to pour love into each other.
I love that. And let's keep doing it. And tell you what, you're easy to encourage because you're so cool. Have a great day.
Good talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Jason Kanz. Always check his stuff. JasonKanz.com. Follow him on social media.
And before we get going here on the WIB Wake Up Show, I'm going to take off my third member of the WIB Wake Up Show hat and put on my sales manager's hat for a bit here. We got a text this morning from Brady from Chippewa Falls, and I'm very glad that he brought this up to us right away. He mentioned a specific political candidate in an ad that's airing, and he said, I cannot believe WWIB is endorsing this candidate. So first and foremost, let me put this out there. Political ads are never endorsements on this station. They are never endorsements. They are purchased. And the other thing that's very important for people to know is, as a commercial radio station, WWIB and our sister station WOGO are required by the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC. We are required, no choice, required to provide equal opportunities to political candidates, regardless of their views, regardless of their party affiliation, regardless of the individual views of anyone working at this station. We are required to do that. To do anything otherwise would mean the possible revocation of our station's station's license. It means that we could have our license revoked and no longer cease to be here. So there's no wiggle room for that. I just wanted to make sure people understand that. And hopefully people understand that the hope, the gospel, encouragement that the station offers is needed now more than ever. We appreciate your patience. We appreciate your understanding, but it's not something that everyone knows. They just hear this and they might say, well, why is this political candidate on the air? Again, just please understand there's not a choice in these matters, and we deeply appreciate you giving grace in that regard. And let me just say as well, too, I deeply appreciate you not turning off commercial breaks, even if there is a political ad in there, because we have so many local advertisers that have stuck with us, even throughout a time of a pandemic when everything was shutting down. We've had advertisers say, no, I want to continue supporting this station. So I would plead with you to please continue paying attention to those messages and supporting them. But anyway, just wanted to get out in front of this right away, because, again, we're more fractious than ever.
And the same opportunity is there for candidates of both parties, of all parties, to buy ads on WIB and WOGO. And so the opportunity is there, right?
Yeah. So again, never an endorsement, just a requirement.
Very good. Hey, my wife's back from Africa. Great picking her up at the airport in the Twin Cities yesterday. Thinking about those kids in Africa with this song from Stephen Curtis Chapman, WWIB. Well, Caleb, my favorite person came back to the country yesterday. My wife, Peggy, is back with us, and she's at our home on the north side of Eau Claire, and she's on the line with us this morning at 723, 47 degrees. Honey, welcome back to Wisconsin and the good old U.S. of A.
Thank you so much.
Hold on.
May not be the Harlem Globetrotters, but the Halverson Globetrotters, as Peggy is back once again. Hope you got at least a little bit of rest.
I did, although my body clock says it's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon right now.
Oh, dear.
So Yeah, I was up pretty early this morning, wasn't I, honey?
You were up very early, which is not not typically your case, but you had got more rest on the United flight, though, because there was plenty of space to relax, right?
Yes. On the flight from Brussels to Minneapolis, to Chicago, I have never seen such a huge plane with such few people on it. So I got to lay across three seats and actually sleep well. I felt like I was in first class. So I got some good rest on the way home. So I appreciated that.
Maybe one of your best trips in a really long time. It seems to have really refreshed you and renewed you and reinvigorated you.
Yeah, well, you know, if you've been following Teamwork Africa at all the last couple of years, between us coming home and then losing Peter Flomo, who died a year and a half ago, it's been a really tough season for us and a lot of transition. And I finally feel like on this trip, we got our feet on the ground. We have an amazing team that is very talented and have a lot of trust in them. And so I'm actually really excited and encouraged going forward.
And finally, you did go to this conference, The Farming God's Way, and you were excited about that. Just tell us briefly about that.
Oh, it's an amazing program that was developed, I think, in 1987 in East Africa. But it's designed for African farmers, and it really shows them how to use conservation of soil, mulching ideas and preventing erosion, and how to get a better yield on the land that God's given them. And it's so practical. And I was just so excited at how well done it is and how biblical it is, and just the tie-in between the spiritual and the physical. And it was phenomenal. We are hoping to actually host at least two more trainings in different areas in Liberia, within the next few months.
All right. And then lastly, I know some of the money raised at our picnic in the parking lot for Teamwork Africa for rice distribution, and you were able to be part of that too.
Yes. We were able to deliver rice to two churches and then a number of individual homes of friends that we knew that were really struggling with food security. And it was a huge blessing. I can't, food is so, important. We don't think about it much, but just for these families, not knowing for sure what they're going to feed their children, during the next few days, to be able to bring them rice and let them know that they're not forgotten, that God still loves them, that there are people that care. It was just great to be that bridge between the Chippewa Valley and Liberia, West Africa.
Amen. That is wonderful. And one final query here, Peggy Halverson. Did Mark or the kids ever call you in Africa to ask where something was around the house?
Not this time.
Didn't happen this time.
But it has happened in the past.
Mamas are superstars.
She did find it for us in the past. All right, honey, I love you very, very much, and it's great to have you home.
Thank you so much.
Well, good morning, Western and Central Wisconsin, and good morning to my oldest younger sister, Rachel Swenson, joining us this morning today by phone in advance of Slice of Life. Rachel is the assistant director at Pregnancy Help Center of Rice Lake. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning.
Hey, great to have you with us. This is the second annual Slice of Life event that is coming up this Sunday, Slice of Life. And a little change this year in terms of the venue, but this still is an event that is not virtual. It is in person. We are inviting folks to come out and support Pregnancy Help Center and support unborn, preborn life, and also the mothers and fathers in these situations as well. You care for all.
Yes, definitely. So this year it's taking place at the Stardust Drive-In in Chautauqua, and we're really excited to have it at that venue. So people, regardless of how they are, if they're nervous about interacting with other people or if they want to enjoy the outdoors, they can come and be a part of this great event.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I was going to say some of the events included with Slice of Life. Pie. You've been hearing the ads, too. Pie is a very integral part of this. There's a pie-eating contest. There's Pie the Pastor, including our dad, if he gets enough votes, so to speak, by your monetary donations. There's a pie auction, which my wife is making a couple different pies. There's snacks, T-shirts, and more pie as well. So, again, it's a one-of-a-kind pie-themed event, a great fallish or autumn event.
Yes. Yeah, it sure is. Yeah, so you'll see the number 39 over and over again. Our goal is to raise $39,000. We're auctioning off 39 different pies in a live auction, and that's all to celebrate the 39 lives that were saved through the ministry in the past year. So we're just, it's a celebration. We're really excited to be able to hold this again this year face-to-face.
Now, it seems, Rachel, that we talked to you last year, and it seemed like the number of lives was close to that number as well, wasn't it?
It was exactly the same.
Yeah.
Good memory, Mark.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love pie, and that is a challenge, but this seems like such a great event. Tell me about the different diversities and what will be kind of the range of pie availability, because it's certainly for such a great cause.
Sure. Well, they'll be we'll be serving pie to the people who come. We also, in the pie auction, will have, well, like the ad says, apple, blueberry, and French silk. We'll also have, I believe we have raspberry pie coming, peach pie, blueberry cream cheese, candy bar pie, just all sorts. There's a good assortment of pies coming, definitely. Something for everybody.
Rachel, you and Caleb, your mom, I think last year when you visited us, didn't you bring us like a chocolate peanut butter pie that she had made? Does she have an entry in this whole deal?
She does, yes. I believe, well, my sister is actually making a peanut butter pie for it.
Nice.
So she's representing with the peanut butter pie. And my mom, I believe, is making a salted caramel pecan apple pie or something fancy like that.
Right on. Rachel, just real briefly here before we run out of time, can you talk a little bit more about what Pregnancy Help Center does? Folks might not know about the LifeSpring Home, some of the different ways that you're involved and the number of clients that you're able to see and even continue to see during COVID times.
Yeah, definitely. So we do have a maternity home that serves three moms and their babies. They can stay there for up to 2 years after their baby is born, just learning not only how to take care of their baby, but just also how to manage their finances and just be able to become a good functioning member of society and thriving. And we also, the goal of that home is also discipleship, so to teach them about Jesus, and hopefully they'll come to know him. And then at the Pregnancy Center, we serve anybody and everybody. Our goal is that women would choose life for their baby. So we offer options counseling. We have an Earn While You Learn program so they can learn about parenting and about pregnancy, and also earn what they need to take care of their baby. We do STI testing and ultrasound. So just a lot of things to enable women and just encourage them that they can choose life for their baby.
Rachel, how much did you raise last year, and what's the goal this year?
We met our goal last year of $39,000, which was really exciting to see. We were just blown away by that. And our goal again this year is $39,000, $1,000 to represent each baby who was saved in the past year.
Tell us one more time when and where the event is.
Yes, the event is this Sunday, October 4th, from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Stardust Drive-In in Chautauqua.
Very good.
Rachel, thank you for joining us. Hope lots of folks will come out and enjoy Slice of Life 2020 this Sunday afternoon. And again, folks, we'd really appreciate you sharing that event on Facebook as well. You can get all the info and directions there and can share it with others. Slice of Life as we stand up for the unborn.
All right, so the first of three presidential debates. There'll also be a vice presidential debate, Kamala Harris and Mike Pence. And Chris Wallace had the task of moderating this, and Beth Moore, who you'll hear later this morning with Michelle, a quick word with Beth Moore. She tweeted, Caleb, the American people owe Chris Wallace a spa day today. So it was rough. I mean,
things got pretty testy, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People are saying debate or debacle. Interruptions and accusations take center stage. And I think that's a fitting headline. So it was rough. A lot of the interruptions. We've heard some of the name calling. Already in some of the newscasts, top of the hour from SRN.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill, best known as playing Luke Skywalker in the Star Wars films, actually tweeting this. He said, I think it's the worst thing I've ever seen on television, and that's saying something since I was in the Star Wars Christmas special.
I have never seen the Star Wars Christmas special.
Yeah, apparently it was pretty bad. So.
Yeah, I mean, and again, a lot of different reactions on social media. I don't know. And again, you know, take things with a grain of salt on social media, but just scanning a few things last night, I don't know that I saw anyone who really thought it was uplifting for the country, or like, hey, there were some salient points made. I think more we saw comments such as, out of 330 million people, are these the best two options? And, you know, I don't know who won, but America lost tonight. Just some of the things that I saw from other people, too. And I did see one point where someone said, hey, you know what you really need is to give the moderator a mute button so there's not so much talking over one another.
I thought that's a good idea. But here's an idea from Dan Needles. I think he's a sports guy elsewhere in Wisconsin. And he said, I believe shock collars are needed for this debate. Every time one candidate talks over the other, zap.
Oh, wow. I mean, I guess, you know, basic politeness is something that maybe we should go back and learn what our mama taught us. And remember that, not just when we're saying, hey, presidential candidates, but in our interactions on social media and interpersonally as well. Remember that.
Right. Kindness, kindness. People were saying that this is what you're seeing is kind of a reflection of us, the voters, right? And in terms of the way that we act towards each other on social media and conversationally. So that was food for thought.
That is interesting to turn the mirror toward ourselves, because so often we're just like, well, I'm not as bad as that person. Or, you know, and again, those comments were largely just negative toward the candidates and their performance. But wow, a reflection of what's in ours. Ow.
This is what Ari Fleischer, one of my favorite press secretaries ever, said. He said, this debate was a train wreck, a mess that isn't good for our country. The president interrupted too much. Biden returned the fire, and neither candidate came across well. Both should knock it off in time for the next debate. Debates should air differences, not be food fights. So there you go. Anyhow, those are some thoughts here on WWIB.
1994. The internet was the next big thing. Hot enough that Time magazine did a cover story on it, but so unfamiliar that they had to begin by explaining what it was. Quote, the world's largest computer network and the nearest thing to a working prototype of the information superhighway. Back in that year, 26 years ago, in May of 1994, computer book publisher Ziff Davies Press released How to Use the Internet. And here's some things the book covered, Halvo.
Email. Never forget that electronic mail is like a postcard. Many people can read it easily without your ever knowing it. In other words, do not say anything in an email message which you would not say in public.
Okay, so the purpose of this bit was kind of like, oh, look what they didn't know about the internet in 1994. Right. That's still absolutely true. Again, just consider it written in ink whenever you do anything online, email, social media, et cetera, et cetera.
And ink that doesn't go away.
Right?
I mean, that's the
permanent
thing. Yeah.
Again, from 1994, How to Use the Internet, finding people to communicate with from this book, quote, telephone a good friend who has electronic mail and exchange email addresses with him or her.
Yeah, there you go. That might be something you'd do. 1994, everything you needed to know about the internet back then. Surfing the internet, a lot like channel surfing on your cable television. You have no idea what is on or even what you want to watch.
And now, of course, we're actually watching live TV and things on the internet. I don't know that I've used the term surfing the web for a long, long time. And finally, searching the internet from back in 1994, this book, How to Use the Internet. Quote, if a particular search yields a null result set, check carefully for typing errors in your search text. This is the best. The computer will not correct your spelling, and transposed letters can be difficult to spot. I use Google as a spell checker now. It's just...
Well, you know what gets me
is how things have changed.
I love spelling. And we've talked about this on the air before. Hillary, not a big fan. But when it comes to, like, I'm typing a message and the word correct, you know, so not spell check, but like they give you these choices of words. You're doing a text message. And I'm like, I know I want to say this. And they correct you. That kind of is a frustration to me. Yeah, because I'm like, no, I know the person's name is Williams, and they want to put it a different way.
My autocorrect on my phone spells my wife's name wrong all the time, and I'm sure there's some sort of a setting where I can go in and correct the autocorrect, but I haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah.